This morning's message, I probably have changed the title from what is in the bulletin. We're a little ahead of schedule. Rich, poor, poor, rich. Then we're going to read from James 5, 1 through 6. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because your misery is coming on you. Your wealth is rotten, and moss has eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Your corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you have failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter or feasting. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Julius Rosenwalden, a Chicago millionaire who once said, "I never could understand the popular belief that because a man makes a lot of money, he has a lot of brains." He was fond of telling a story. A certain man won $1 million on the number 14. When asked how he figured it out, he said, "I had a dream. One night I saw in my dream a great big 9. And next I saw a 6. So I used my brains and I figured 9 and 6 is 14. Donald Trump, in the book of The Art of the Deal, said this: "Money was never a big motivation for me, except a way to keep score. The real excitement is playing the game." Margaret Thatcher, to balance that on the other side a little bit, or to give some perspective, "One would never remember the Good Samaritan if he had only good intentions. He had money as well." That's an interesting idea, that a perspective on the Good Samaritan story. I'm going to start off with some statistics that'll kind of maybe sicken you a little bit, but nevertheless, this is where we're at. I got it from inequality.org. You could probably argue these statistics in various different ways, but it's a basic look at a way things are. The top percent now average more than 9 times as much income as the bottom 90%. The top 1%, they average over 40 times more than the bottom 90%. The top 0.1% make 198 times income than the bottom 90%. I have more. You'll be pretty disgusted by the time I'm done with all this. In recent decades, the 0.1%, that's 0.1%, have seen their income rise faster than the rest of the 1%. Now we're talking about a small fraction of people. The top 1%, they average over 40 times more than the bottom 90%. The top 0.1% make 198 times income than the bottom 90%. Oh, I already said that. Sorry. The top 1% have seen in the middle of the 20th century till now have seen their share of wealth double. So from the middle of the 20th century till now, it has doubled. Some say with the unions playing a smaller economic role, CEO's pay has 8 times larger now than in 1980. So it's risen substantially. At the end of 2015, just 10 CEOs of the top companies' retirement fund wealth is $4.7 billion, equals 40%, 41% of everyone else from the bottom up. 41% from the bottom up. That equals only 100 CEOs. So that's a big, big difference. And that's what I'm trying to show here, the inequity. Workers lucky enough to have a 401k. These are actual workers who work in a factory and the people who are not people in position. Workers who are lucky enough to have a 401k plan through their employer have a balance of about $18,433 in their IRA. So you can see it's not doing very good. Wages in the United States, after taking into inflation into account, have stagnated for more than three decades. We know that. We live in this country. The typical American worker in the nation's lowest wages have seen little or no growth in their weekly wages. We have stagnated to a point, which I'll give a point about that in a minute. Between 1979 and 2007, the paycheck income of the top 1% earners exploded over 256%. They have gotten a raise of 256% versus our little bit here. Meanwhile, the bottom 90% of earners have seen little change in their average income. From 1979 to 2015, it was 21%. So there's been a little bit of edging up, but not much. But productivity, and I've seen this in many different places, people are required to do more for less. That has risen 132% from 1979 to 2013. This message is not about all statistics. I'll get to the gist of the message soon. So even though we get paid less, we are required to do more. And every place I go into, that has been going on for quite some time. People complain. They age out people and they don't replace them, and people are expected to do more done. And that's part of it. One of the widening factors of the income divide is the decline of the U.S. Labor unions. As much as we don't like labor unions, I think they have served a purpose, and in my opinion, somebody has to represent the labor in this country. Wealth disparity or difference in the United States is running twice as wide in the rest of the industrial world. Our middle class is getting smaller, but the rest of the industrial world is doing better than what we are here. Our middle class is doing quite poorly and is in decline. China, for your information, has the upcoming middle class in the world. Their middle class is broadening a lot more. China is going to be the world's innovators in the future, I think, if somebody we're going to have to look after. We in the United States have problems. The United States has more wealth than any other nation. We are the wealthiest nation. That is true. But we are top-heavy at the top of the wealth. So there's only a few people own a lot of the wealth. We're top-heavy. And a typical American adult is far less, has less wealth than their counterparts in the industrial world. Globally, the world is doing better. There is a little bit of news globally. I missed a page here. We'll start at the top. Women make up about only 27% of the top 10% income earners. So of the women, again, are less whatever. And among the 1% women, top 1%, women make up only slightly 17%, and in the 0.1% level, only 11%. The Forbes, the percentage of wealth held by the wealthiest has peaked, as in the great right before the Great Depression. Now, what that means is the percentages of people who are at the top, the lacking of the middle class and the poor, these percentages are now equal to the time of right before the Great Depression. So if one is looking at an example of the past, we're at the point where that could possibly happen again, because we're so top heavy at the top. I thought that was interesting. The 21st century has not been kind to the average American family. Their net wealth minus their debt has fallen down from 2000 to 2011. Millionaires who have make up the Forbes 400 of the richest American now own as much wealth as all the African Americans plus one-third of the Latino population. That's a lot of stuff they have. The typical white household holds a net worth wealth of 6 times greater than the typical Black American family. And it's even wider in Hispanic. So now we're down to globally. Globally, there's a little bit of good news. Globally, 70% of the world's adult own under $10,000 worth of wealth. That's 70%. So of the 70% of the world's population, they only hold 3% of the global's wealth. Only 3%, 70%. So you're starting to see quite a difference. The Western and European countries have the lion's share of millionaires, 70% of them. Of the 70%, 43 call their home United States. So we have about 43% of the. And the non-Western nations that have a significant share of millionaires is Japan, China, and Korea. I thought that was interesting. Korea. The good news. The population, the global population, defined as poor, meaning making less than $2 a day, has fallen since 2001 to nearly half of what it once to 15%. So there's still 15% of the population is making less than $2 a day in this world. Overall, the world has become wealthier. The middle class income bracket making between $10 and $20 a day, not an hour, $20 a day, has doubled. It has gone from 7% to 13%. So there's some interesting statistics in which James is talking about right off the bat about how we should look after the poor, or that a person should have a wage, what is the term? A living wage. James supports the idea of having a living wage. That's a term that we use today, having a living wage. He says, listen to you rich people, weep and wail because your misery is coming upon you. Your wealth is rotten and your moss has eaten your clothes and your gold has corroded. Gold and silver has corroded. So what is he trying to say? People who store up great riches, they have many kinds of clothes. You have to worry about the moss eating them. That was a big problem years ago. Now we have mothballs. We put them in there and that kills the bugs. So we have a way of storing all our clothes and whatnot. But years ago, they didn't have that. So the moths would get in the and they would, rather than give them clothes away, we would store them on and on and on. Have a safe trip. We'll see you. Good to see y'all. They would store them and rather than give them away. We have, in our country, we're hoarders too. I mean, I grant you, we're hoarders. We don't want to, we're greatly blessed in this country. We have a lot of things to give away. So, and the idea of gold and silver that is corroded again is you hoard it and it corrodes and it sits there and does nothing. You pile it up and it becomes corroded. So, the corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh, meaning you will be judged in a way of not using it. You have hoarded it, your wealth until the last days. Well, here the term was James, as we know, considered the last days. They assumed that Jesus was coming back very soon. And so there was a misunderstanding of where the kingdom of heaven was. Some of us believe the kingdom is already here and in operation. It's just that we are passing this life to the next. And it's in harmony, or, you know, there's just a matter of us passing from this life to the next. But the kingdom of heaven, I think, is alive and well today. Because if people go to heaven, which we believe, it has to be active and working and functioning already. And that's one of the things I think Jesus did when his coming. He established, people didn't live in Sheol or the underworld. They went from this life to the next life. And I think that's, some people are still looking, they want a soul sleep and they want to wait to the end of the age and all this thing and they're going to be resurrected. I think they're not missing the good news of the gospel myself. I think that's, you're retaining an old idea and trying to move it through Christ and make it alive and well and functional today. That's a process of many scriptures that are used along the way. One of them I'll get to soon, a way of thinking. excuse me. Look, he says, you have failed to pay your workers who have mowed your field and they cry up out against you. Well, you can see that everywhere you look. People are not getting paid for what they do. It's what the market can bear. I think that's really not, that's a non-Christian principle if you ask me. Absolutely. Now, when I go get my car repair, I pay a living wage to get it fixed. That's for sure, in my truck. But they make profit off the business makes profit off of labor too. So not all the money that you're paying hourly wage does not go to the worker. They make they're lucky to even get half of it. I don't even think they get half of it. Quite sure of that. But then there's some benefits and whatnot get in there. But they make a profit off of labor. I know that. So he's talking about not paying people what they should get and what they are worth. So they can enjoy their lives too. You live on this earth in luxury and self-indulgence. Well, that's what I was trying to point out with a lot of my statistics. We are really top-heavy at the top with all our wealth. Well, what's going to happen? No one really knows for sure. Who knows? We don't know. I say at some point in time, somebody's got to take the marbles and put them back on top of the marble roller again and start the process over again. Everybody had a marble roller when they were kids? When the marbles get to the bottom, somebody's got to pick them up and put it to the top again. Well, this is kind of the process that needs to happen, but the rich don't want to give their money up. They would rather crash and burn than give and make the system functional again in a good way. I think that you would make even more money if you would invest in your people. I think in this country, we have not invested in our people, period. From healthcare to who knows, wages. It's what the market can bear. Whatever you can pull out of the system, that's what the rich are going to do. And they're going to pay. That James is going to say, in the end, they're going to pay. Well, I mean, I'm sure most of us had comments about rich and said various different things along the way. So they live in the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. And you who have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter or feasting. So we don't necessarily butcher anymore like they used to do years ago. But I remember as a child when we butchered and we stored up our meat, it was a feast time. I mean, some people would curl their tongue at eating fresh meat right out of being cooked. But that's what he's talking about. You lived a fattened life. Eating everything you could get your hands on or indulging in everything you can do. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not oppressing you. I don't think most of us really want to have a big extravagant life. We just want a simple life. We want to be able to enjoy our life and enjoy the technology in which we have and live a certain comfortable life when we retire and have health, just basic needs. What we call basic needs in this country, which I think they should be globally. You should have a living wage, you should have health care, you should have certain things. These are things that we as a globe should look at. In this country, for some reason, we don't do that. Is James talking about redistribution of wealth? That's a term that is used, if you listen to the news, redistribution of wealth. It depends on which side of the aisle you're on, whether or not you agree in redistribution of wealth. I've had many discussions with conservatives, and they really cringe and stand upside down rather than they hate the term redistribution of wealth. Nobody should get what they don't deserve. On and on it goes. Well, it's about sharing and giving and moving society in a positive way. Yes, Jason.
Yeah, I like to give. But when I pay my taxes, I don't really pay them. They take those away from me before I ever see them. And then give it
So you would say, I'll give to the government what owes you.
I love to give
yes.
to people in need. I get
yeah.
good feeling from it. I love to do it. It's more blessed to give.
Yes, than to receive, yes.
And I've spent my life giving. I'm a giving person. But I don't like it when it's taken.
So what?
Ripped out of my hands and give it to someone else.
And the idea okay. that people should only get what they deserve, the next step is kind of deciding what people deserve. Should all people deserve enough food to be healthy and shelter? Or do people only deserve what they have actually earned?
I think it's about caring for others who can't care for themselves. I think that's a lot. And back to your point of taking money from you, how do you expect the government to collect taxes? Is that taking money?
Well, I like to pay my taxes.
Okay, so you're not...
I don't have an opportunity to pay it. It's taken from
It's taken.
It's right. taken. I never have an opportunity to pay it. Because before I even get my paycheck, it's taken out of there. It's not that I paid anything.
Well, when you're self-employed, then you can have that privilege of paying the government.
Well, I was self-employed.
Okay, so they don't take anything out. When you have a 1099, then you can have the privilege of, okay, I'm going to write my check out here, you can have it.
Yeah, but right now I don't do that.
Yeah.
Take it from you.
If you're employed, that's how it is. Any other comments? Hey, we're all different in this world. Even in this group here, we're all different, and that's the beauty of it. For comment on Eugenie about do people deserve what they don't earn, I think that's a matter of policy or a matter of now it seems to be one side of the aisle and the other side of the aisle in the political realm. Again, I think it's still about caring for one another. If healthcare was provided, that would go a long way. Mental health care was to be provided. There has to be better systems of caring people who are not capable of taking care of themselves through life. And we just throw them out in the street and we call them homeless people. And
but at this point, my experience is our health care is totally controlled by insurance companies.
It is.
And if you have no insurance, there are medical things you're going to do without. I found out not too long ago, that an MRI costs $5,000 plus another $500 to the radiologist that reads it. And how many of us would have an MRI without some insurance? We'd never have any of them.
Well, on the other hand, the insurance company refuses to pay for certain procedures also.
That's right. So you have to decide whether you're going to pay for it or do without it. And medical care is pretty pricey right now.
Medical care is very, very pricey, and just go out and try to buy it on your own, like I do. It's very, very, very pricey, and the average person, without any help, you just can't buy it. It's way too expensive.
My daughter and son-in-law, they had to re-sign up here recently. Their insurance increased by 11.5%.
Yeah, ours went up too. Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous, and they're paying less.
Yeah.
If you look at the policy, you're paying less.
This is a part about what the market can bear. This is where we're at. The market can bear. Well, I agree with you, Jerry, 100%. I think healthcare should be something that we should have. If we're a Judeo-Christian principle or guided by this nation, that's caring. Healthcare is definitely a part of that Judeo-Christian principles that we should live by. But that's another whole argument whether or not we are or not.
The insurance company's got a monopoly on our lives.
Yeah.
Control it. We have no control over it.
Well,
right, exactly.
I agree. The point is, we're at the point now, what are we going to do about it? I mean, I think there's more, a lot of people are stirred up now. I mean, the women are stirred up about the sexual harassment. There's a lot of people stirred up. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, I don't know. I don't. Upheaval is okay, as long as it's guided in a certain way. But total chaos is not no good either. And that worries me is total chaos. We might go in that direction. And I think that would be detrimental to a lot of things. We have our leaders need to lead and to work together and solve some of our issues. There's no effort to solve problems. It's an ideological driven world.
Maybe we should start a campaign for pro opponent now, where no one that's in there now get reelected.
Good luck at that. May God bless you on that one. It goes to the person's heart. I think that's where it goes. Where is that person's heart at? Are they really interested in helping and solving the problem? Or are they in it for the money and representing a certain few? I think that's a couple of verses that I wanted to bring up as I'm getting closer to the end. It's Matthew 19:24 says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. Now, my explanation of that is when they used to close the doors at night in the cities, and there was an eye in the door. And so when the thief was out all night trying to rob everybody and he had all his goods on the camel, when he couldn't, the only way the camel could get through this little eye was they had to take all the stuff off the back of the camel's back, and the camel had to get down on its knees and wiggle itself through the little hole. So you can't, the picture is that you can't take riches to heaven. So when by that time somebody would find him out and he would get caught. So that's the story there. You can't take riches to heaven. So it's easier. Matthew 6:21, where your riches are, there's where your heart is. I think that's another issue that Jesus talked about. Jesus talked a lot about wealth. It's not that wealth is bad, it's the improper use of it. Now, I like Margaret Thatcher's point of view, what she said about the Good Samaritan. I never thought about that, that it took money, that person who carried a sick person that was beat up alongside the road and took him to an inn and paid that person's way to get healed, a person had to have some money or have a little bit of something to give to the innkeeper to take care of that person. So I don't want to get too lopsided and say, well, money is bad and all this and this. No, it's the use of it, I think. And where your heart is, where are you? Success is okay. I'm not saying you shouldn't be successful.
Love of money is bad.
Yeah, the love of money.
The Bible says.
Yeah.
And it's how you use it, how much you love it.
Yeah.
If you love your money too much, you're not going to help anybody else.
Right. Or
there are some very wealthy people who just hoard their wealth, and there are others who do a great deal of
work. Yes. There's many people who do great things with their money. I'm not saying all rich people are bad. Please don't misunderstand me. I was a little with President Trump with the Art of the Deal. The real excitement is playing the game. I'm not quite sure that, you know. I mean, some people get caught up into it, like you said, John, get caught up into making money. And that's, I think, sometimes is where we are in the United States. Matthew 16:26, what good does it do to gain the whole world but lose your soul? I think that's the same principle. There are one last verse. I'm going to insert this one in here, and it was a little bit of explanation. Matthew 20:16, the first will be last and the last will be first. And I want us to think about it in terms of wealth today, like a big U. And so over on the right side, you have the poor at the bottom and the wealthy ones up at the top, right? In order for them, the wealthy ones from the top, they have to come the whole way down through the U and come around to the other side and be born again. They've got to get rid of the wealth. They have to become poor again. So the poor, which are at the bottom of the U, as the flow turns the other way, will become first. And it'll move around over into the heavenly realm, and the poor will go to the top, so to speak, and the rich will be at the bottom. So you can think of it as a U, like this. So the richer are at the top now in the physical world, but in the heavenly realm, they'll be at the bottom.
The sermon has been brought to you today by the letter U.
Last week it was H.
The last what?
Was H.
Oh, yeah, last week it was the H.
H.
H for heart, this time it's you. Okay, all right, that's cool, no problem. Oh, yeah. H-U-M? I think it's, I don't know. That's wonderful to laugh. That was good. There's many stories about people who sold their souls for pleasure and knowledge and for money. Faust, I'm sure people read the story Faust. That was the one that came up in my head. There's many, many other stories. Any comments before I close? Bob Dylan wrote this, the lyrics to the song in 1963. Everybody knows who Bob Dylan is, I'm hoping, I would assume. Don't look it up. That's your research. Whatever. Called The Masters of War. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you make will never buy back your soul. Smile, we are blessed because forgiveness, grace, and mercy is a free gift for all from God. Amen.
Realize they're there. So many times we take them for granted. We just ask, Lord, that you use this offering now, that we feel given, that you use it to bring honor and glory to yourself, that your mission on this earth be expanded and grow to bring honor and glory to you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hymn number 386, return to yes.